It's hard to imagine a world without music. For over 35,000 years, music has contributed to culture and enhanced our life on Earth. I'm Robin Applewood, producer, musician, DJ, sound engineer, and promoter with over 20 years of experience in the business. I interview other professionals from the Bay Area music scene and beyond. Meet the extraordinary humans that make up this intricate and robust industry. The talented and creative humans that hustle day in and day out to bring sounds to our earbuds and produce the live music experiences that become some of the best moments of our lives. All right, I'm here with Chris Cortez, legendary host of KCSM Midday Jazz 91.1 in the Bay. He's been doing it for 25 years. A voice that many jazz enthusiasts and radio listeners around the Bay will definitely know. He's a sweetheart. He's a drummer for reggae band in San Francisco, Native Elements. And he is the studio owner of Nicen Up Studio. So I want to welcome Chris Cortez. How you doing, man?
Hey, Robin. Great to talk to you, man. It's been a minute, hasn't it?
It actually literally has been a minute because we were just chatting before this, trying to get our audio dialed in. But
That's right. But we figured it out eventually. You know, you get two techies together, you never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
You know, either you can fix something or you'll break something really, really badly. But I appreciate that intro. You know, as I was telling you before, you know, I don't feel worthy, man. This is quite an honor to be speaking with you. And legendary, wow, what an adjective. But I mean, I guess if you do something long enough, you sort of become legend, you know. For instance, Native Elements, I can't believe I've been playing with these guys now for close to 30 years, you know. Now, I just turned the big 5-0 literally last month, October. Yeah, and I thought about it for a minute because my wife said, man, you've been playing with the band for pretty much half of your life, more than that. And I said, yeah, it's very, very true. And it's fortunate. I feel fortunate because I'm able to play with friends and people that I grew up with. And, you know, as you know, as a musician, playing music, it's something that you just have to do. It's a way of life. And if you can do it with people you love and friends that you trust a whole lot, you know, it's even that much better. Mm-hmm. You know? So, man, going on 30 years, I can't believe it. So
yeah. Well, you know, I do remember those shows at Pier 23, and you guys were doing a weekly Saturday nights, and it was kind of the place to be, man. I just remember it. And when I think about it, even just right now, it's like making my hairs raise a little bit because it makes me feel so nostalgic. Like it was a time when like there was so much life and so much energy and enthusiasm for live music. And you guys really put quite a party together. And I've probably been to that, you know, at least 15, 20 times to that show. And I can just, they all kind of blend together.
I'm surprised you remember that much.
No, I remember very well because, yeah, they all blend together into this kind of like, yeah, I mean, nostalgia is the word because it's just everyone is having such a good time. And you guys, and you said it right now, just that you're playing music with friends and that vibe that you guys had on stage was just so infectious.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that was the thing with Native Elements, but it was a vibe, you know, and I think you mentioned Pier 23, that really was a place that put us on the map. You know, we did play a lot of different festivals. We did Reggae on the River and Reggae in the Park when it was a thing, you know, in Golden Gate Park, or Miss Pearl's Jam House, all these great, you know, venues and festivals. But really, after all these years, what really sticks out is that little love shack on the bay, you know, Pier 23, because not only did we all grow up there, but we were able to connect with so many amazing, you know, fans over the years, fans that, you know, that basically came as young adults and kept coming and later grew up and maybe met their spouse, you know, at that Pier 23. And then, they would go off and get married and call us and hire us to play at their wedding. So it was really a great experience, you know. And it was an organic thing, you know. We didn't plan it. We wanted just to have a place to play where we can get together and feel free and not feel like we had to put together this structured show. You know, I think that was the beauty of Pier 23 was it was very open and free, and the people that came were just coming to have a great time, and it was always positive, strictly positive, mm-hmm. and the vibe was always so high, man. I mean, shoot, so amazing.
Your fans really were like super dedicated. It felt like, it's reminiscent of like a scene, and your fans, like, they followed you and they would show up weekly. I remember mm-hmm. seeing the same faces, and it's just like, I made friends. It was definitely a place to like meet people and like build on friendships.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'm definitely feeling a little bit reminiscent and sad for like, you know, we're right now in the middle of a pandemic. And so I wonder, like, have you been able to like, those fans that we're talking about? I mean, I know that, mm-hmm. you know, many of them have kind of like gone on with their lives and they're doing this, that, and the other, but like, do you still, mm-hmm. Have some like connection with them in this time? And like, how are you as a band, like, staying connected with your fans?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we come from the old school OG where we would have mailing lists, or, you know, we would actually send out cards and stuff, you know, and get people's addresses. This was like way back when. And then it eventually morphed into email where we would keep in touch with people. And then MySpace came around, you know, and
right.
we had to jump on that, and then Facebook. And I have to admit, you know, we're not the greatest when it comes to navigating social media and trying to stay connected with our fans through that avenue. But I don't know. I think our fans really, they had such an experience that they continue to have that feeling and that soft spot in their hearts mm-hmm. for the group, because they still see us sort of trucking, you know, playing smaller venues here and there, or we might pop up, you know, at a festival occasionally. And that's how we stay connected with them, is they have this deep memory of those great times they had at Pier 23. And then they'll see us pop up somewhere, and they'll come back, and we'll remember them and say, oh my gosh, you know, oh my God, how you been? You know, kind of thing. And they may have a new family at that point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's more of a family vibe, which is why, you know, people continue to remember the group and have such fond memories of you know, going to Pier 23 and spending time with their friends and just having the time of their lives. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is the experience they had before. It just stuck with them.
So when you just said like the time of their lives, I mean, that's, you know, a big motivating factor of why I'm doing this podcast, actually, is because, you know, to really paint the picture of like all these elements, for lack of a better word, that go into making this experience, that literally people go out and they have, like you said, the best nights of their lives. They meet their future husbands mm-hmm. and wives. Like, they have these memorable right. experiences with their friends coming together and partying, and just like these.
Right.
Wow. Cat just jumped up and knocked a plant over. yeah, see, it's the energy is still with us. But you know, and
yeah.
I think that, you know, right now during COVID, like, it's just, it really shows how many of these people have been actually impacted. You know, you have sound engineers, you have the venues, you have the bookers, you have the bands, you have, you know, yeah. the roadies, if you got them, you know, but, you know, and then there's the fans, and it's like, this experience that's just so, it's like, yeah. this is, I don't know, like, have you, some of these other artists are kind of pivoting to online and doing like live streaming, and, you know, the consensus is that it's kind of like a band-aid. It's not like the real thing by any means, but
right
like, you know, so like, what other ways have you guys, you also are a studio owner, and so like, have
yeah.
how is that so I imagine like that the studio has been hard to navigate the COVID, but have you guys considered doing some recording there in a COVID friendly way, or like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just recently started opening up again and bringing in, you know, solo artists, maybe smaller groups like trios and stuff like that. You know, people that have been bubbling socially, you know, during these times of isolation. So, I mean, that's pretty much like the safest way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But and I've also been, you know, watching these live streams that people have been putting out. Quite impressed, actually, with the level of the technical level and the level of production that people have been able to, you know, provide on Facebook or YouTube. And I'm just you know, really pleased to see that mm-hmm. that people are finding ways to navigate, you know, and stay creative and to stay connected with their fans and with each other. You know, my group, there's on a good night, there's like 8 or 9 of us on the bandstand. So when this first thing started, you know, we said, man, we gotta, and we were always constantly playing, you know, every weekend we had a gig. So when this happened, or we couldn't get together, we had to, you know, become experts at using Zoom and trying to connect that way. And so we did that for a few weeks, you know, just meeting and just talking about, you know, the situation and how we're going to get through it, you know, because we have a studio that we're proud of that we've continued to maintain, you know, for the last, I think, 12 years now as a band. And it's our clubhouse, you know, it's our space. Mm-hmm. It's a place where I work with several clients with, you know, the recording studio. And it's also our practice space and creative space, you know, where we can get together and play, you know, till the wee hours in the morning and not bother our spouses or families and stuff. So, yeah, it's been rough, you know. I just, like everyone else, we're trying to keep moving forward and stay motivated, but it's, you know, it's a learning process, and just taking things day by day and trying to, you know, stay positive through it all.
Mm. I mean, that's definitely a unified theme in the music that you guys make. So the fact that you're staying positive even in this time is really telling that you guys are kind of like walking the talk, and that's beautiful. And yeah. I hope that soon that you guys can get back to business. And
yeah, it's true. And you know, we did have a couple opportunities to do some live streams, you know, over the last few months. And I think the funnest we've had was actually just getting together outside of Pier 23, just kind of a guerrilla style jam, and basically set up out there unannounced and just started playing for people out in their beer garden and the tourists walking by, and you know, people just started throwing money into the tip jar, you know, and that ended up being not a bad afternoon for us. You know, we were able to get together and spend time with each other and also make a little bread so that we can, you know, buy some more beer or whatever it was with that money. So it was cool.
You know, that actually makes me think of an interesting kind of segue where we were talking earlier about fans and you know, and different models of how to like engage fans and find ways to like kind of monetize what we do. And mm-hmm. I know what you just said, I've heard of a lot of artists who are, you know, either playing virtually or, you know, playing, you know, out in some restaurant doing like a COVID friendly, you know, show or whatever. People are anxious, or not anxious, but like they're excited to just support artists. I mean, like they're getting like tips because people just like want to support artists, and it's like to provide them an opportunity to support, you know, is so crucial, right? So we were talking about the Patreon model and just kind mm-hmm. of like these more like crowdsourcing models, and you're also, I mean, KCSM, which is publicly funded radio. I mean, I'd love to chat with you a little bit about that, because you guys are kind of like the OG Patreon, right? We were just saying earlier, you've been doing this for 25 years, raising money from your fans, essentially, who are fans of the service you provide and the music that you put out and the interviews that you do. And I mean, mm-hmm. my dad, little anecdote is that like I actually know you before I even knew you, because my dad is a huge fan of yours and used to I just remember awesome. Him doing construction and listening mm-hmm. To your show. And I just remember like hearing your voice and thinking like, wow, this guy's a really good interviewer. And, you know, here we are. I feel like almost like it's like the David Letterman show where the actor and the host switch for like 5 minutes and it's really awkward because, right. you know, it's like you're a legend, man. And it's like, it's an honor to get to talk to you. So maybe you could speak to that a little bit of like what's happening with the radio show and how you guys have experienced the shift during COVID and
Well, you brought up a really really important point, Robin, especially about people and the music. I mean, I saw that firsthand when we went out there and played for people. You know, we weren't expecting, I mean, we were expecting to get a few tips, but I mean, the kinds of tips that we were getting was extraordinary. You know, people dropping 20s, you know, somebody dropped a $100 bill
wow.
in there.
Yeah.
You know, and these are people that had no idea that we were just going to start playing music. But I believe there's this really healing, you know, quality about music mm-hmm. that, you know, especially during this very stressful time for people and unprecedented, you know, where we're all isolated and unable to connect with each other. By having that sense of normalcy for that brief moment, whether it was 10, 15 or minutes or an hour listening to the band, it really was like a super healing experience, you know, not only for them, but for us, you know, as musicians. And I'm also seeing the same kind of phenomenon with KCSM, the radio station. And I'm not sure if people know, but KCSM is the Bay Area's jazz station. And
91.1, baby.
That's right. Non-commercial radio, which means we do pledge drives. And I got to say, I've been there for, you know, half my life, 25 years, and it hasn't always been easy raising money. You know, you know, by being a non-commercial station, you have to raise your operating budget. And we did 3 pledge drives a year, 4 times a year. And oftentimes we wouldn't make our goal. But since COVID started this whole year, we skipped our first pledge drive thinking, you know, this isn't a good time to be asking people for money. And so we did a pledge drive just a couple months ago. And just put it all out there and said, hey, you know, we're continuing to bring you music and do what we do and connecting with our audience. And boy, they came through gangbusters, you know, because people are not only captive, you know, they're home more, they're working from home.
Yeah.
They're listening to a lot more content, whether it's music or talk radio or podcasts. I couldn't even buy a microphone these last few months because everyone, you know, they're developing in the YouTube, you know, podcasters yeah. and stuff.
Well, here you go.
It's pretty amazing, you know, to see people shifting and providing all this content. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's just really, it makes me feel optimistic, you know, seeing that people are, you know, that music is a very important aspect in their life and something that's helping them get through these very stressful times. And I've felt that KCSM and what we do has always been played an important role, you know, in the Bay Area, but even more so now with COVID and all this isolation, people are really letting us know how important and how much they appreciate getting the music daily and having that connection, you know, with the announcer. It's not just a playlist, you know, cycling through every hour and you hear the call letters.
Right.
We're actually there at the radio station picking the music and what I call, you know, playing to the changes. It's kind of like a soloist on the bandstand, right? Or a jam band playing to the changes, the chord changes, and, you know, having that live sort of, you know, feel and being able to respond to what came before and what's coming after and maybe what's happening in the news that day or
taking requests
or the weather. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, having that connection, it really, really makes a difference. And I think people are looking for more of that, you know, and it's been wonderful to see that people have been supporting it. So I have to say our last pledge drive was probably one of the most successful pledge drives that we've ever had in my experience, you know, at the radio station after these couple decades.
That's really encouraging because you have like basically, you know, how I introduced you in these kind of, it's compartmentalized into these kind of three different realms. Like you have your studio, which is kind of, it's like your service that you provide, you're a service provider. And you do it really well. I mean, in fact, I'm just going to plug you real quick because I recorded some of my Dogman Joe stuff at Nice and Up. And it's a beautiful room and you guys have beautiful gear and you have an excellent ear and you mix some of the most phenomenal mixes that I've heard. And you know, it's been an honor working with you. So you have this and then you have your band, which is like your entertainers, your performers, and there's a ticket price and people pay the ticket price. Right. And that's where like the monetary exchange happens is that you're providing this experience and people pay for it. And then you have your radio show where it's funded by people and you're like, you know, essentially like reaching out to them and saying, hey, in order to keep doing this, like, you know, please pledge, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so you have these three different arenas of monetization. And I think that now it's like, that's why you see a lot of artists moving to that more like Patreon model, because we're not playing shows and we're not providing our services. And so it's kind of like, that's the only way to do it really is to just ask people for money, you know, or I guess you have.
And don't be shy about it, you know, because people, they really want to give you the bread. You know, I've been watching a few artists on YouTube and I watched this channel called Smalls Live, which is, it's Smalls Jazz Club in New York in Greenwich Village. Mm-hmm. And they've basically been streaming their shows, you know, since COVID started, and through sponsorships and, I guess patrons of the arts, you know, people like you and I giving the club money, they're able to pay these musicians and keep these musicians working. Even though they're playing for small audiences right now, I think they're limiting their audiences to like 15 people a night, you know, just to keep things safe. But it's really cool to see that these avenues are there and people are supporting it in a great way, you know. And it's true. I mean, we have to find different ways of monetizing. And since we can't get out there and play live shows, I mean, everybody wants to go out and play, but we can't. It's just not possible right now. You know, the best thing we can do is sort of provide what we do, but do it in a way where people can get it safely and can also pay you, you know, through, say, like a PayPal or something, or a Venmo. Mm-hmm. You know, recently I just picked up, well, my wife actually gave me a book to read. I just started reading it, so I can't tell you too much about it, but it's called The Forever Transaction by Robbie Kelman Baxter. And she's basically a family friend who's helped hundreds of businesses and people sort of successfully, you know, turn their business into what she refers to as a forever transaction. And if you think about it, there's companies like software companies, like we were talking about Slate, you know, software off mic, or even Microsoft, or even like a music service like Spotify or Apple Music. We're, what are we paying them? Like $5-$10 a month kind of thing, or maybe even more than that, $20 to use their software to get some service, you know, get a service from them. Why couldn't musicians do the same kind of thing, you know, build a customer base, or in this particular case, our fans, and have the fans provide us, you know, with the support so that we can continue, you know, creating and making songs and making videos and, you know, sharing our art with them. And in return, what we do for them is, you know, is share the process with them, you know, on a personal level. And I think that's what people are looking for, is as going back to that personal connection. You know, if you can, you don't need thousands of people, you know, you only need just a small bunch who are really, you know, into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you could have them, you know, support you at anywhere from $2 to $10 a month, you know, you can actually create create a way to continue doing your art. You know, you can make a living from that. Particularly now that we can't go out and do these live shows. So it's almost like a subscription model, if you will,
right?
You know, but for artists and musicians. Yeah. And as long, and I mean, the value is there, right? I mean, so why not turn it into what Robbie Kelman Baxter refers to as a forever transaction. So I think,
yeah,
I think we need to start thinking more, you know, in those lines. And when we go back to playing live music and touring again, this could still be a component of, you know, a monetary stream, if you will, so that you can keep trucking along and creating.
And this is such a theme, like in all the podcasts so far, you know, I've been interviewing some phenomenal people, and mm-hmm. artists that are, you know, adapting in that way to learn these online tools. And, you know, I guess you would be a really kind of a perfect person to ask about this, because I feel like there's so many artists who are just like, you know, whether you went to jazz school and you're just, you know, and mm-hmm. you got all cerebral and heady and learned like music inside and out, and you just create and you play and you practice all day, and the music, you live and breathe music, and that's all you know. I find that like you're kind of in the perfect niche. I mean, I'm stereotyping in a way, but like I feel like jazz musicians, how would you pitch this idea to a jazz musician, or how have you noticed like the people you've been interviewing or talking to, how have they been adapting to this? Because I almost just think of them like jazz musicians. Like, how do you tell them how to like move to online and pivot in this way, right? It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is interesting. And you'd be surprised, you know, it's particularly a lot of the younger jazz artists. They've grew up, you know, using social media and connecting with their fans through it. So it's not a huge stretch for them to, you know, to move into that venue and to deliver what they do with the online presence and stuff. I think some of the older musicians are definitely struggling with it. But, you know, they're getting pulled in by all these other musicians who are showing them the way, saying, hey, you know, you set up your iPhone, you know, you get a little tripod or, you know, a little claw for it. So, you know, you could mount it somewhere and put it in a place where you can play for your people. And you don't have to do a long show. You know, you can do a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
And interact with them, you know, have an interaction where it's more than just a performance. And I think people really respond to that, you know, and I don't know. I think a lot of these musicians really are open to trying new things now, especially because they've got a little more time on their hands, mm-hmm. you know, to experiment and to also learn, you know, about all this tech and stuff. And, you know, a lot of them too are teaching more, and they're teaching on Zoom, or they're teaching on, you know, the other platforms. And it's working for them, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, I talked to Akira Tana, a drummer. Mm-hmm. He's a world-renowned drummer. I mean, he lives in Belmont, but typically he's touring, you know, about probably 9 months out of the year. But he's been stuck at home, you know, for the last 8 months.
Right.
And so he's really just shifted into doing online lessons and also teaching. So, and he's gotten really good at it. You know, when he first started, it was rough, but after a month or two, he's really taken a liking to it, and he likes working from home. So, and he loves being home. That's another side of the coin. Is it's a drag that we have to do this, but now we're spending more time at home than we've ever have. In the past.
Right.
You know, we're actually around for our kids and for our spouses, and we're able to participate in a more, you know, meaningful way with our families. And I think in that regard, it manifests itself in your music as well, because you're experiencing life. You know, you're experiencing life and beauty and love and all the other things that come with it. And it just, it all enhances. At least I believe it does.
Well, I mean, that's just the positive vibrations, man.
Yes,
you're bringing the positive, the positivity always. And I really appreciate that about you, man. I've been looking forward to this conversation. And, here I am doing these podcasts, right? And all of these interviews have been super inspiring to me, because I would definitely put myself in that category of, I just feel, it feels daunting, and I feel challenged by the internet age. And, I guess I'm a Gen X or, you know, Zennial. So and I was a promoter, and I was a show promoter, and we've worked together, you know, on many occasions.
That's right.
I
done a lot of great stuff for the community.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, hopefully this is another one. I have these memories, and it's like I can close my eyes and put myself into these moments of, live music and people coming together and celebrating and dancing together and hugging and throwing energy to the band, and the band is throwing it back.
That's right.
And it's like, it's something that really, I would say, brings me to life. It makes me feel like filled with life force, and I feel like I'm in my element. And I'm just, I have a hard time accessing that with the online digital, age. But that being said, like every interview I've done, I get a little bit more inspired to just try it, more give it a chance.
I mean, you don't have to be a technical genius to dabble in it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a cell phone now. Everybody has an iPhone or an Android phone, and just that alone, you could do a live stream. You know, it doesn't have to be this super technical thing.
Right.
You could start there and then take little baby steps and learn more. I mean, I just recently downloaded OBS, which is like, I know that everybody's kind of using it right now for live streaming and stuff. So now that I have a little bit of time, that's what I've been doing, is just trying to enhance, my self-development and trying to learn some new skills, spending a lot of time on YouTube. It's amazing, what you can find on YouTube and learn.
Right.
I'm learning how to play jazz, by watching YouTube, doing lessons here and there.
In a sense, we're kind of like, we're in this phase where, and as you, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what you've been saying. It's like, we're developing new tools that we can take forward with us, even when things come back to normal. We're developing ourselves on a personal level, as well as, in all these ways, like learning, and it's really like, in a way, very expansive. Even though we're all kind of like isolated in our homes, I think that the positive vibrations, bring this time of cultivation, and then kind of bringing that forward as things start to kind of open up and go back to some semblance of normalcy, as they say, that you'll have these new tools and this kind of expanded state, coming into that. And I like that attitude.
Absolutely. I think everyone has to keep their eye on the prize and know that we will, get through this. It's taken a lot longer than anyone ever imagined. When they first announced, oh, we're going to shut it down and, you guys get to stay home for a couple weeks. I looked at it as like, great, man, this is vacation time, I could catch up on my Netflix or whatever, catch up on things that I've been wanting to do. And then as things sort of dragged on, I was like, oh my God, this is never going to end. And then not being able to play live also added a lot of, frustration. And it was excruciating, not being able to go out there and connect with people and my friends and musician friends. But all in all, we have to keep our eye on that prize, knowing that, we're going to get through it. There's now, there's a couple of vaccines, and we all know that there'll probably be more coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe you give it another 6 months. I don't know. And maybe look at this time as a way to enhance, what we do And like you said, take these skills that we've been honing and learning, you know, these last 8 months and apply it to a new supercharged, you know, group or artist, you know, or whatever it is that you do. And you'll just be a lot better at, you know, what you were doing before, I think.
Oh, man. So, and we got to keep the love, peace, and unity, right?
Absolutely.
In the right. Sunshine. Yeah.
Love, peace,
unity. All right, so actually, yeah, I think that's a perfect note to kind of end this on. And do you mind if we play that track? I mean, you guys have always been so good about letting me shout out requests at your shows, and so you know, hopefully, this is the 2020 version of me getting my requests in. But it's really been a pleasure interviewing one of my, you know, idols of interviews. I mean, like...
Oh, man, I feel that this has been a privilege and a pleasure for me, Robin. And I got to say, you know, I've been very impressed with just watching you grow and develop over the years. I remember you coming into my studio in Brisbane that one time, you know, working with Ben, Benjamin Thompson, mm-hmm. and he was sort of helping you get off the ground and producing your things. Mm-hmm. And I basically watched you develop as a songwriter and an artist and a human, great human being. And now you're this amazing skilled engineer and, you know, man of many parts, photographer. And now, you know, now you're a podcast host. It's pretty amazing, man. It's inspiring to me to see that that you keep moving, and you know, you've always kept that connection with music and your heart and with your fans, and it's really nice to see you pushing on and really providing, you know, the Bay Area and the Bay vibes people with all this positivity, man, because that's what the world needs. The world needs more love, baby.
Thank you so much, Chris. I feel like we could probably shower each other with compliments for the rest of the night.
Oh, but, most definitely. Well, right on, so, man. And definitely, you know, my sign off is keep love in your heart, you know. And
right.
And I think that's a good way to think of life and the way you know, deal with daily things. It's easy to get frustrated and pissed off, but I think if you keep love in your heart, everything will work out.
That's beautiful. Do you mind if I borrow that for the night, since I'm the one interviewing?
You most definitely can, man.
All right.
I steal all my stuff. Why not borrow?
I'm going to try this out. Chris Cortez, it's been a real pleasure, man. And, you know, to everyone out there who's been listening, thank you so much. And just want to tell you all, and a little reminder, keep love in your heart.
Aww.
And we're going to take this out with Native Elements. Peace, Love, and Unity. Is that what the song's called?
Yep. No, that is. Perfect.
Love this track.
There's a day nice. I'll be with no war. Well, I'll be playing together, be no score. Brothers helping brothers, hand in hand. It's Jah's will, you know it's Jah's plan. Can't tap in, no, with no hand. You need to be at peace within yourself. Start right here with you and me. We'll be together as one family.